Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even including having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to help leaders transform to their next level of success. So I'm super excited to introduce Rasheryl McCreary. Now, Rasheryl is an expert in brand and business strategy, executive presence, and communications for leaders and organizations. Through her company, Dow Leadership Development, she has coached and trained over 1,000 leaders at some of the world's biggest brands, such as Amex, Capital One, P&G, Cisco, HBO, PayPal, and Harvard Business School. Now, she's also the founder of the Leadership Presence online coaching program for On the Rise professional women and the Brand You Business Lab for entrepreneurs. Now, all of Rasheryl's programs help leaders elevate their brand, presence, influence, and career to the next level. Well, welcome, Rasheryl. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Wendy, I am so thrilled and honored to be here with you, and I'm so excited to jump into this conversation. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, fantastic. This is going to be great. And I just love how you're helping people reach new levels of success in so many different ways. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work that you're now doing.
Me too. I'm excited to get started.
Well, my question that I just love asking is, so exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to become an executive leadership coach?
You know, Wendy, that is such a great question. And I think what really inspired me to become a leadership coach, so a lot of people don't know, in my background, I was a professional actress. I was a professional theater actress.
Oh, wow.
And I say theater because theater is very different when you're an actor, an equity actor. You're on stage. You have to, you know, you have to make your living by being able to truly engage an audience, to sit in a seat and stare at you for 2 or 3 hours, you know, and you do 8 shows a week. You have one day off a week. So it's very rigorous.
Yeah.
And it develops skill where you have to perform in the moment. There's no retakes, do-overs, or that kind of thing. And so what I found from having that background, even though as much as I love being an artist, I also had a business head. I was one of the rare like artists who had like a business head, and I loved doing business things and being involved with marketing and sales and training. And so really coming out of being an actor, I started freelancing as a training director, training other people how to create training programs, actually training individuals. And I would use some of my theater background, some of my skills to make the training more experiential and therefore more sticky for people. And I would see very seasoned folks who had lots of training come into one of my trainings and have a transformative experience or be able to click into the next level in some of their skills. And so that was sort of the big inspiration for me, where I saw the skills I had as an actor and that I learned through that training in college actually could be deployed and used and leveraged in a completely different way. So I would say that was sort of maybe a spark for me.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like that was a discovery of some talent or expertise that you had that you didn't really realize.
Yeah, it really was. And it's so interesting because that for a lot of people on the outside, it looked like I made a complete turn, you know, like a complete left turn from what I had been doing. And I guess sort of I did. But for me, I could totally see how for leaders, whether you are a sales leader, whether you are a tech leader, whatever your role, you're always having to influence others, right? Even if even selling is a form of influence. And so as an actor, I developed those skills, and I could see how that skill set was incredibly valuable and powerful for leaders. And when you look at great leaders, they have to be influential. They have to be persuasive. They have to be engaging. They have to be, even more so now with all that's going on, to cut through the noise, you have to be inspiring and motivating and have great presence. Right. And so that's how those things for me are very connected.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. It's so exciting just to see how things evolve and come together in almost a perfect harmony, right? When you're going through it, it's like, how does this relate to that? But then all of a sudden, it's like, everything is perfectly fit.
Yes.
So how long have you been a leadership coach? And, you know, has your mission or business vision evolved since you first started this work?
Yes. So I've been a leadership coach for 16 years, almost 17 years now. And yes, absolutely. My business, my mission, my vision has evolved. So initially, I went in to executive leadership coaching, focused exclusively on what's called executive presence, which is sort of what I talked about before, that ability to be authentic, to engage, inspire, motivate, and, you know, to really influence others in terms of your presence. So that's where I started. And what I've noticed of 16 years being in business is that I've had to evolve depending on what's happening. Right. So initially, as I said, I offered these coaching and training in this one area. What I discovered in doing the executive presence work is that your presence is also tied to your brand. I see your brand as who you are.
Right.
So who you are, your values, your vision, all that stuff. So then I got very interested in, okay, wait a minute, what is brand? Because, you know, for me, your presence is a delivery system for your brand. So then I started doing a lot of work around branding, got certified in that. And then looking at sort of the externalization of your presence is how you communicate. And so I became very interested in communication and presentation skills and, you know, emotional intelligence. So throughout my 16 years, I've had to evolve based on discoveries I made while coaching and seeing certain connections, also based on what's happening externally, you know. So, you know, even most recently having to turn the corner and evolve into, just from a business perspective, my business was mostly in-person training. Executive coaching was virtual, but now I've had to evolve all of my offerings to be online because of the COVID situation and the pandemic. So I've had to, and I hate to use this word because it's so overused right now, but, you know, I had to pivot. I had to really alter my business model to evolve what I'm offering, because we're now in a whole new world. We're never going to go back to the in-person trainings that I used to host here in Scottsdale, or the going into my clients, you know? So that's been one evolution. And really quickly, I'll just say the second big evolution for me has been when I first started working in this executive presence work 16 years ago, I mostly was working with men because I was mostly working at the VP to C level, usually working
mostly
with
men, right?
Yeah, mostly men, exactly. Yeah, in tech. So it's mostly men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I evolved, I had to evolve and 3 years ago launched an offering exclusively for women, because we were seeing women really emerge and finding their voice and demanding equal pay. And so there just became a real need to do this work specifically with women. So those are sort of some evolutions I've had throughout the years.
Right. Yeah. Well, over 16 years, that shows right there that if you don't evolve and continue to meet with new needs and to tap into new areas that might be craving your expertise, then that's when your business might reach either a glass ceiling or become a point of frustration. I could hear from the passion in your voice, you are on this quest to just continue rising to the occasion, which is, you know, what is so exciting, definitely. But I'm just curious though, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Oh my goodness, Wendy, there have been, just inherently being an entrepreneur, there are going to be roadblocks, blocks and challenges. You and I talked about this before, like this is not for the faint-hearted being being an entrepreneur,
right?
You know, but what I will say, probably the biggest thing for me happened in 2008 and 2009, when we had the, you know, the Great Recession. At that moment, I lost everything. Like my whole business went down the drain. I lost, you know, material goods, my home, and, you know, just all these different things.
Wow.
And so it was really devastating. You know, I had to really start over, like literally start over. And it was a huge challenge, you know, and there were the, you know, people who loved me and who were well-intentioned, and my family and friends repeatedly saying to me, Rochelle, you should just get a job. Cause I've been an entrepreneur, you know, and they were saying, you know, you should just get a job. Get something stable, find a job, any job, take a job, and get
as
yourself.
As if that's stable, right?
Yes, right. Exactly. I'm like, so many people lost their jobs. What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, especially in my field, executive coaching and leadership development. So yeah, that was a big challenge for me, was losing everything and having to start over again, Wendy. It was devastating.
That is devastating. And you were, I'm just trying to do the math here. So you had been a coach for about 4 years.
Yes.
If my math is right. So,
yes.
You know, that's not, I mean, that is a significant amount, but yet it's not like your business was on lock at that point. You were still growing and building things up. So to just be wiped completely out, back to ground zero, I can't even imagine how you worked through that. How did you pull everything back together and rise to this new level?
You know, Wendy, the very first thing I had to do was to get very clear about what I wanted, really in my heart of hearts. Because again, I have a lot of people that I trust, that I love, who love me, you know, mentors who are saying, find a job, like get something secure, you know? And so I had to really, really come to, you know, a reckoning inside of myself. Am I going to, you know, look for a corporate gig, or am I going to just restart this business and start out new? And so that was the first thing I had to get really clear, because in my heart of hearts, what I really wanted was to continue in my own business. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the first thing, is that I had to just get clear about what I wanted. So I would say that's always sort of the first step, right? And then the second thing was I went through and looked back at all, and I save like every single email ever written to me ever. So I'll just say that. So I went back searching through my emails, my client lists. When I would do trainings, I would have a list of attendees, you know, in that training. And I just went back through every piece of paper I'd saved at that point, every email, looking for folks that I had made a connection with, looking through LinkedIn, who had I made a connection with? Meaning maybe after the training, they had emailed me or said something or reached out in some way.
Right.
And I just started combing through all of the connections I had and just find out where some people had moved from the job they had to another job or to some other place. And so I was able to begin to rebuild by just reaching out to people that I'd had relationships with, that I had touched in some way, and re-sparking, rekindling that relationship. So that was the second thing I did. Just looking for connections, reaching out to people, you know, offering a free coaching session, offering to connect with them, that kind of thing. So that was how I began to sort of spark getting things moving. And I did work as a subcontractor for another company that did coaching and training. So I was able to sort of get back out there by subcontracting, taking some subcontracts with other companies. So that was how I began to rebuild and put things back together.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you were driven and determined. And like you said, just aligning with, okay, what is it that is so important to me? Mm-hmm. And connecting with that. And that gives you the strength and the vision and the fuel, right?
Yes.
So that you don't see this as just a complete, oh my God, this is the end. But it's like, okay, that happened. Let's dust ourselves off, reconnect, and go.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had that focus and that drive. So yeah, that is fantastic. I love that quality. That's one of your superpowers, right? If you didn't acknowledge it, I'll acknowledge that.
Thank you. And Wendy, can I just say one more thing really quickly?
Yeah.
You know, it occurs to me as I'm talking that if there's anything I would want to say to your audience who might be sort of struggling with this right now, is that the turnaround is always a combination of mindset and elbow grease, you know, like you got to get your mind right about like, what do you really want? And that you can absolutely do it, right? So that mindset work is so important. And then you gotta just like you gotta just hit the pavement, you know, metaphorically, right. You know, yes. and put in the elbow grease. So it's always a combination of those two things.
Right. Yeah, that is powerful. Mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other. That's for mm-hmm. sure. Or else there's self-sabotaging or just not enough action, period.
Right.
You got to have both. Yeah.
Right.
I love that. Right. Yeah. Well, Rasheryl, you're obviously an expert at helping leaders and entrepreneurs reach really exciting levels of success in their business or their career path. But curiously, how do you feel about your sales role or client enrollment part of being in business? Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Such a great question, Wendy, because I think this is the key thing for entrepreneurs that we sometimes forget. If you're an entrepreneur, like your number one job is to sell. You know, like yeah. otherwise you're just
okay.
like,
it's, thank you for saying that, Rasheryl. Right. That's sometimes the hard truth.
It is. Otherwise it's just a hobby, right? It's like your number one job is to sell the beautiful, beautiful offering of service that you've crafted for people, you know? Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, at this point in my development, I don't have a lot of sales challenges per se, but I want to tell you, when I first started my business, I was very uncomfortable selling. I was uncomfortable quoting my price. Like to work with me in a corporate setting one-on-one is significant. I coach from the VP to C-level in Fortune companies. And so it's a significant investment that to the company, it's an investment, but it's not, you know, that significant. To me, it's a big dollar amount. Right. And so initially I had to really work a lot on my mindset because I just was like thinking it was too much. And even though I knew the companies would pay what I was asking, because I sort of had a sense from colleagues and from the companies themselves of what their parameters were.
Sure.
But I just felt like it was too, you know, I had to work myself into feeling worthy of the numbers I was asking.
Wow.
And feeling worthy of that I could sort of stand in that conversation without negotiating, without wavering, mm-hmm. And sound confident, not overly confident, right? But right. be confident. So I don't know that it showed to the clients, but it was certainly, oh my goodness, it was certainly something I had to really work through for myself.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Because you have a lot of confidence in your voice and you know the outcome, right? That your offering mm-hmm. is so valid and so critical. And it's really the only way that these executive leaders are really going to attain that new level of success. And so, you know, it's worth every penny, but boom, right in the moment, early on in your coaching career, choke a little bit that moment. And that is just amazing. And it's refreshing to hear for a lot of entrepreneurs that it doesn't always have to be that way. Right. So I'm assuming with just building your own confidence and self-worth that you are able to overcome those limiting beliefs.
Yeah. And you know what, Wendy, here's the secret though. It still happens because here's the thing for all of us, as we grow, as we level up, we push out of our comfort zone, right? So right now I'm really comfortable with my fees and what I ask and all that. When it's time for me to raise my fees again, and every time it's time for me to do that, I do get a little bit of the heart flutter. You know, I get a little bit of the like, oh, what if this is too much, or what if, and then I have to walk myself through, here's some of your accomplishments, here's some of your wins. Like I have to right. still talk myself through like, no, you're worth this, you know?
Yeah.
Or if a client wants to push back on what I'm charging or, you know, in some kind of way, and that happens very, very rarely. But you know, it's one of those things as entrepreneurs that I think, or just as people, period, whenever we push out of our comfort zone, it feels like we're in a free fall, like, oh my God,
right?
Right.
Yes.
And we have to talk ourselves into that. So I still get that. I don't want to even pretend here that there aren't things that make me feel uncomfortable or places I feel uncomfortable in selling. Every time I increase, especially if I make a big increase, like if there's some reason I realize, you know what, my prices need to come up 30% or whatever, you know, a big increase, I have to get my mindset around that.
The little voice so, needs to be on board.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and you talked a little bit there about pushing out of a comfort zone. I have to ask you, we're right in the middle of this COVID pandemic. Speaking of being pushed out of comfort zones, a lot of people are being pushed out of their comfort zones. A lot of leaders are being pushed out of their comfort zones. I'm curious, has this had any impact on the work that you're doing? I know you spoke a little bit earlier about you're changing your format and now you have an online course, which is super exciting, but I'm thinking that probably the leaders in serving their roles have had extra needs that they have of you. You know, help, Cheryl.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, you know, the first big thing that, you know, has happened is, so again, as I said, I coach VP to C level in Fortune companies. And most of these companies at that level, you're not working remotely. Generally that, you know, you got to be in the office, you need FaceTime and all that. And so my one-on-one coaching clients, for most of them, they have not worked remotely. They've maybe been on vacation and had to, you know, go into, you know, do a Zoom meeting or whatever. But like working remotely is like a whole different world. And so right now they're all at home. Mm-hmm. So
and their teams are at home.
What'd you say?
And their teams are at home.
Their teams are at home and their children and their dogs are at home, right? Yeah. Like everybody's home.
A whole new dynamic, right?
Yeah. So for people who like never had to like sort of think about certain things from working from home, now they're having to do that. So they're needing to still be able to influence, still be able to grow their brand, still be able to elevate their presence, still be able to drive results when they're working remotely. There's work-life balance issues and boundaries issues that are happening now, because if you have a two-parent household that's both working, you know, and everyone's working and the kids are home and you're trying to work from home, it's a whole new dynamic.
Yep.
Now, so my clients are sort of struggling with that. Although, you know, and this is what I thought from the very beginning of COVID and the stay at home orders, I thought, oh, my clients are, they're never going to go back to brick and mortar like they used to. Like I knew it. Like once they realize they can still accomplish at home, they're not going to go back to brick and mortar like they used to.
If they can still achieve that same level of success, which is part of why you're so important right now.
Yeah.
Because you have the, you know, the vision or the experience or the process so that they can reach new levels of success within this new way of doing business.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And the other big thing that they're struggling with and all of us are struggling with is, how do I lead through this level of uncertainty, turbulence, or downright chaos, right? How do I lead through this? And so, you know, a lot of the executive presence or leadership presence practices in my programs that help folks have a sense of personal agency, right? Personal agency, personal control, if you will, even in very turbulent environments, right? So really helping them have actual practices, practical things they can do, put in place and practice to make sure that they're, you know, that they're anchored, that they're grounded, that they're centered, that they can be clear-headed, that they can be nimble and agile. So a lot of that kind of work I'm doing as well, just helping leaders feel some sense of agency, even though there's a lot of chaos going on around them, and still be able to get through that.
Yeah, right. Well, you've piqued my interest here, Cheryl. How do you work with leaders who are seeking new levels of success within their careers or business? Can you share just a little bit about your process or your approach or your methodology?
Yeah. So, you know, I always say to my clients that, you know, executive coaching or like developing your presence or leveling up, it's not sexy. It's not sexy at all. It is literally like, you know, the way I work is very much from the inside out, and I work in terms of mindset, and I work in terms of physical practices and things that you actually do to build skill. And so I liken it to, let's say you have a few pounds on and you want to take them off, a few extra pounds, you want to take them off. Mm-hmm. You go to the gym, you work with a coach or a trainer, and it's not sexy or fun. You do these reps over and over. And, you know, sometimes you're a little bored. Sometimes you're like, why do I have to do this? You know, but here's the thing. All of a sudden you look up one day and it's like, oh, I can fit into my swimsuit. I look fantastic. Right.
Right.
And so coaching for me, the way I coach is like that. Like I will give them literally like a basic core practice that I give them that, by the way, the Navy SEALs use, and it's foundational for Navy SEAL work, is breathing. Right. Because here's what happens for a lot of people. When you get anxious and your stress hormones are running, your whole schedule's running you, things are sort of chaotic. You know, you're not quite in your right mind because you're not even breathing. You don't have control of your physiology. Right. And so a foundational practice is just deep belly breathing consistently, because it slows the stress response. It slows the stress hormones that are flooding your system. It opens up and unlocks your cognitive process. And it helps you be able to have greater personal agency and manage what's coming. And it seems so simple, right. But there's tons of research scientific research.
We don't do it. We don't do it.
Yeah. You know, just breathing, you know? So that's one of the things. And truly the Navy SEALs, there's been a flurry of articles the last couple of years about the Navy SEALs. Like, that is foundational, because if you can't control your physiology, you cannot manage and you can't perform at a high level in high stress situations. So they have an actual way that they breathe. So I always send that article to my clients, because they're always thinking, breathing, I do that. You know, I already do that. What are you talking? I'm like, no. Navy SEALs do this, and you're not, you know, extracting people out of a foreign country. So I think you should probably look at this. You know,
Right. Oh my God. I just love your approach, you know, from the inside out. It's just it's so critical. And you spoke of this earlier in terms of getting through one of the challenges, I think, with the mindset as well as the elbow grease, you know, the moving your feet when you were rebuilding from losing everything back in 2008. You have walked this walk, haven't you, Rochelle?
Oh my goodness.
You are the one that looked inside, started working there, and then put everything into action in the right way, in a very methodical way that is going to get those kind of results. So I can only imagine what kind of impact that you make with your clients. It is fantastic. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Oh, excellent. So if listeners want to learn more about working with me, here's what I would say. I have this fantastic free training that is running right now, and it is called How to Elevate Your Voice, Presence, and Career to the Next Level. So if you want to do that free training, you'll get more of me. You'll get some actual specific coaching from me. It's about a 50-minute or so training, but it's absolutely free. And if you are interested, sort of a long URL, but here it is, you will go to leadhershippresenceprogram.com/free training. So it's leadhershippresenceprogram.com/free training. And I'm sure Wendy will have other ways to get that information to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to put that in the program notes for the podcast here. So,
okay.
Wow, that is awesome. What a huge opportunity. So this is a free webinar that they can listen to.
Yes. Fantastic. Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So that is, Lead Her Ship Presence Program. And so that's LEADHERSHIP and then presenceprogram.com/free training.
Exactly.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, that is super exciting that you're offering that. Well, so Rochelle, you've already shared so many golden nuggets here of wisdom in just building businesses, how to be more successful, period. But if I can tap on you one last time, you know, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or maybe they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Oh, that's a great question. The one thing I would say is to really cultivate and ignite your vision, right? Your vision. And here's why. Here's what happens. So many times we talk ourselves out of something because we don't know how it might happen, right? So we talk ourselves out of our vision. We talk ourselves out of our destiny because we don't know how it will happen. And what I'm going to say to your listeners is flip that. Go whole hog into what is your vision? What do you want? What do you desire? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Like, really just let yourself get ignited by your vision. Like, what is it you want to create in the world? What kind of business do you want? How much money do you want to make? What does it feel like to make that kind of money, to have this great product or service that's helping people and transforming the world? Like, to just go whole hog into that vision. Because once you ignite the vision and just let yourself live in it, then you will be shocked at how the way begins to open up, right? The strategy then begins to appear, or the plan begins to appear. And so many times we get stuck because we don't know the strategy. Because I don't know how this can happen, I'm not going to even dare to dream I could be an entrepreneur. Because I don't know how I'm going to leave my job, I'm not going to even dream to start my new coaching program, right? And that is the death knell of your entrepreneurial dream. If you do nothing else, ignite your vision. Live in what you want, see what you want, feel how you want to feel, and trust and believe that the strategy and the how will present itself, or you'll find somebody who will help you figure out the how. So that's the thing I would say to any entrepreneur right now. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to transition out of your job. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to build your business or how to get your idea out there. Just move right into the vision of it. Like, what does it feel like when it's already done? Mm-hmm. And then the way will open up. So hopefully that is something helpful to your listeners.
Well, I can tell you personally, I am at a whole new energy level just listening to that. That is fantastic. I love that. That is so powerful. There is so much wisdom in that, and just the living in the vision now and trusting in that and knowing that the roadmap's going to unfold.
Yes. You
know, the steps will present themselves.
They will present themselves.
They will get the light shine. The light.
Yes.
So I love that, Rasheryl. That is fantastic. Great, great wisdom there. So, well, Rasheryl, it has been just so great listening to you and getting to hear your journey from a professional theater actor to the really important work and critical work that you're now doing, helping leaders and entrepreneurs reach their next levels of success, especially in today's world of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of change, and still providing that solid pathway for them to reach new levels of success. It's just been phenomenal. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been an honor and a pleasure to be with you, Wendy, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. And again, for all our listeners, take advantage of that webinar that Rasheryl has produced, published, and is up on the website, leadershippresenceprogram.com/free training. All right. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Rasheryl McCreary. And as always, here's to your success.